Heavenly Father, we thank you. We know that the ministration of the Spirit is glorious. And we bless you tonight because our competence in this ministration is not of ourselves, but of you, who have made us able ministers of the new covenant, not of the letters, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. We thank you for the life and the Spirit of your word that is being supplied tonight. We thank you because you are taking preeminence. We thank you, Father, because your Spirit will have a free course, even as your word have a free course. Thank you tonight because you will quicken our understanding. And you open our eyes of understanding that we may comprehend the things that is in your intention for us, even for this hour. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you because there is no barrier. There is no impediment. There is no restriction, Lord, to the supply of the Spirit that is in this hour. Wherever we are connected to this sound, wherever people are connected to this sound, oh God, that your Spirit will prevail upon all mightily, and your name shall be glorified. Thank you because the hearts of your people are already edified in your grace. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I want to welcome you this evening for a good time in God's presence with his word. We are taking our time this evening to study the Bible, and the theme for our study this evening will be healthy spiritual living. How to lead an healthy spiritual life. I love the words of the preacher in Proverbs chapter number 18 and verse 14, where he said that the spirit of a man will sustain in his infirmity. That's to tell you that in this, our human experience, everything seems to be connected. Glory to God. Everything seems to be connected. There is no vacuum anywhere. And there is no neutral position. Praise God. Praise God. And I must draw attention to the fact that the very essence of our being is our spirituality. If we don't understand our spirituality, we may not have a life that is fulfilling. If we don't understand that essence of our living, which is our spirituality, we may not live life to the fullest. Praise God. Because in God's intention, it is the Spirit that controls the natural. Hallelujah. Amen. And even in the times we are in, which we know we are in adverse seasons, we are in times of crisis worldwide, we must begin to see beyond the natural directives that are being given from different quarters to know how we are meant to actually survive in times like this. And I must say to us, in times of crisis, in times of adversity, we have to understand that what keeps us, even in our natural state, is the position, our stature in the spirit, is what keeps us in the natural. The spirit of a man has the capacity of sustaining him, even in his infirmity. So we know that the strength that we need for a life that will be meaningful is not just natural strength. It is first spiritual strength. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so we have to begin to give attention to things that will give us healthy, that will give us healthy spiritual life. That will give us a life that is very healthy spiritually. Because if we are healthy spiritually, we definitely will be healthy even in the natural. What I mean by healthy is not just by physical, mental health. I'm also talking about being sound. I'm talking about having the capacity to live life to the fullest. So it emanates from our spiritual status. It emanates from our spiritual position. And this evening, I'm going to be looking at certain things that are very natural. Things we do on a day-to-day basis that determines our spiritual state. All right? Things that we cannot but do. Things that our everyday life. And how we position those things will determine our spiritual state. Amen. One of the troubles of religion today that the Antichrist has been able to use against us as a thief is to give men a false sense of spirituality. What do I call it? A false sense of spirituality. Now, so when they engage in certain activities, they just assume that they are very spiritual because those activities are religious. So partaking in religious activity is not equal to being spiritual. Amen.
Amen.
There are things that we must consider in order for us to have very adequate spiritual standing. Very robust spiritual standing. There are things we have to take to cognizance. There are things that are necessary for us to be mindful of in order for us to be what? To be spiritually sound. To have an healthy spiritual life. And I can say to you again that if you have a healthy spiritual life, you will have a very healthy natural life. The health of your body will be sustained. Because the flow that comes from God, the supply of the life of God, has the capacity not to just influence our spirit, it has the capacity to influence our body. You remember, I think in Romans chapter number 8, and Paul was saying to the Romans in his letter, he said, if the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he said, he that raised Jesus from the dead shall what? Shall also quicken our mortal bodies. So maybe another time we are going to come to that study, because we have limited the Holy Ghost to a tongue-talking experience. Our experience of the Holy Spirit is a mighty experience that must not be reduced to just some expressions of tongue talking. By the virtue of that word in the letters of Paul, the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, which is the Holy Spirit, if he's inhabiting us, he also has the capacity of quickening our mortal bodies. Our mortal bodies, our natural bodies. So the influence of the Spirit throws way beyond even the gifts of the Spirit. It reaches forth to what? To the sustainability of our physical health. Do you agree with me?
Yes, sir.
I believe that by extension, Paul was saying the same thing with what we saw in the book of Proverbs chapter number 18 verse 14. That the spirit of a man will sustain him in his infirmity. That means if you are spiritually grounded, you can ward off infirmities. Do you get that? If you are spiritually grounded, if you are okay in the spirit, physical challenges, health challenges, you can weigh them off. Glory to God. And that's a pathway for even a sustainable physical health. So this evening, I'd like for us to begin a study by looking at the prayers of David in Psalm 19. Just few words in that prayer. Of course, there is no way we can talk about spiritual health without talking about prayer. All right? Because where our spirit derives strength from, energy from, is from the Father, from God the Father. And if we must draw that flow of life, one major place of drawing it from is what? It's in the place of prayer. It's in the place of communion with God. Amen. As a matter of fact, prayer is the ground wherein we exchange our weaknesses for strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you see some of the things we even learn from David. They were just his prayers. Amen. I wish some of your prayers would be documented, so that the result of it will be that another generation will learn from your praying. And that's exactly what is happening today. We are learning from somebody who prayed to God about himself, and we were able to pick certain profound principles there that are applicable even to our lives today. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Psalm chapter number 19. We are going to read just three verses, verse 12 to 14. And the psalmist said, "Who can understand these errors?" And he said, "Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins." Please, you need to take note of this. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Presumptuous sins as a way of ruling a man. Yeah, it has a way of exerting dominion over a man. "Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression." These are very, very weighty words. He said, "I will be innocent from the great, great transgression." If you look at the Hebrew, the word "great" there is numerous. It's talking about much. He's saying that presumptuous sin, when it begins to rule over a man, the person will be guilty of many, many transgressions. Then to give us a clue to why he prayed in verse 12 and 13, he now went further in verse 14 to say, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Let me start teaching by coming from this experience I had. In this experience I had, I was sleeping. Please listen carefully to this. I was sleeping. And while I was sleeping, God was showing me my words. They were so material. They were moving. They were moving in the heavens. And the Lord said, I should be watching my words. That these are your words. I was taken aback. He said, look at your words. I saw the way they were going. And I saw agencies that were attracted to my words. Now, let me tell you something. I don't want to tell you everything that happened in that experience. But the long and short of what the Lord was trying to show me is that words are very tangible. They are material. And in the realms of the spirit, they navigate through to the place where they can be executed. Are you listening to me? Words go to find authorities that will execute them. Wow. That was what God was showing me. That words travel. If the words you have released aligns with darkness, it will travel the way of darkness and it will come back for execution. You don't understand. That was amazing. Where God was showing me my words. I was seeing the way my words were traveling. I don't want to tell you what directions they were going. Oh my goodness. Now can I say to you that God means words. Even God needs words to make certain things happen in the earth. Both authorities of darkness and authorities of light need words. So the words that we release from our mouth, are you listening to me? They are instruments of execution. In fact, there are certain words that are released and demons are dancing. They are full of life. It's like you have foiled them. They have been waiting for, because that was what they were carrying in their heart to do. And immediately they got that release. They are coming back for execution to make it happen. Words are tangible. There is nothing called joke in the realms of the spirit. Amen. Glory to God. So the psalmist says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. So in God's sight, there are words and meditations that can align with his authority. Are you listening to me? And also the same thing in the realms of darkness. There are words and meditations that are acceptable to darkness. Do you get it? Don't say I'm just joking. I've not come to that. I think I will still have to go back to verse 12 and 13. When David was talking about secret faults in verse 12, and when he was talking about presumptuous sin in verse 13, what he was referring to are the two contents of verse 14, words and meditation. Wow. There is nothing more secretive than thoughts. When I'm talking about meditation, what is meditation? It's prolonged thought. Meditations happen every day. It's just that it is not every meditation that is deliberate, that you do intentionally. Are you listening to me? By the virtue of occurrences in our lives, of activities around our life and events, we are prone to meditations. Oh, have you seen people who thought about the way somebody abused them for 3 days? Oh, maybe it has happened to you before. They say, are you serious? Am I really like that? That it was just an abuse. Somebody just said, can't you see his head? Okay, left for on a lighter mood. While I was small, I used to think my head was big. Seriously. You know, because my mom used to call me big head. So when I go out, I look at my friends, I look at my head. So because of that, for so long a time, I never let my hair on afro. Because I felt my head was already very big. So if I had an afro to it, you know who sowed that thought into my heart? It was my mom. God bless my mom. She's done many, many other good things to wipe out that error. But you see, I'm only trying to tell you that subjects of meditations are many. And it is not every meditation that is a deliberate spiritual exercise. Meditation is a regular and daily exercise with humans. You meditate. Anything that affects your emotion will lead to meditation. Are you still here? So, you say, have you seen people just sit in one corner and they are just thinking? That thinking is meditating. And when David was talking about cleanse me from secret fault, he was talking about meditation. There is nothing as hidden as thoughts and prolonged thoughts. You see, the folly of and deceptiveness of human heart is such that you can be looking at me like this and thinking so evil of me, and you are smiling. Do you understand? You're just looking at him and say, one day I'm still going to cut his head off. Glory to God. I won't forget one of my senior friends that was very, very, very local. And so they brought him a wife from the village. Real story, it's not home video. Years back. They brought him a wife from the village. And that girl tries everything she knows to just make sure that she'll be appealing to this man, you know. And whenever the man looks at her, he smiles. Then the local girl will say, my husband, I've done well today. Yes, you do very well. Then when we go out, the man will tell me and say, Ayo, you know what? I just feel like one day I'm just going to give that girl sleeping tablets and go and drop her in the bush. Is it that bad? She said, my God, I don't know how did this happen to me? So I'm only telling you that the heart of man can be that deep. So when David was actually asking the Lord to cleanse him from secret faults, he was actually talking about unholy meditations. Unholy meditations. Secret faults. When Jesus was reviewing the commandments, you remember in the New Testament, he said, Moses said unto you, thou shalt not, what? Thou shalt not commit murder. But I say unto you, that if anyone will do what? If anybody will say, he used two examples in inference. He said, if anybody will say, what? Raka. Say and act in the New Testament analysis at the same. Jesus was trying to bring us to a very good understanding of a spiritual position. He said, Moses said unto you, thou shalt not commit murder, but if anyone among you will what?
Will say.
Can you get me that scripture? Quickly. If anyone among you will say, Raka. Then he said, the other one, he said unto you that thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that if anyone among you will what? Look lustfully. You know, the look is not the real thing. What is the real action? Is the lust is the thinking in the heart. Are you still here?
Yes, sir.
She's looking at a girl and she's almost turned the girl nude. And of course, I know most times we say it is male that look at female, right? But that's not true. There are also times that it is female that looks at male. All right, you just look at the male and say, oh, wonderful six pack. Please, can you quickly give me that scripture so that I can run very fast? Okay? Read it.
Ye have heard that it was said
by them of old times,
thou shalt not commit adultery.
Let's start from thou shalt not commit murder. Quickly. Back up a bit. Back up a bit quickly.
Ye have heard that it was said
by them of old time,
thou shalt not kill.
And whosoever shall kill
shall be in danger of the judgment.
Go ahead.
But I say unto you
that whosoever is angry with his brother
without a cause
shall be in danger of the judgment.
But whosoever shall say to his brother,
Raka,
shall be in danger of the council.
But whosoever shall say,
thou fool,
shall be in danger of hellfire.
Are you listening to me?
So I don't know how many of us are in danger of hellfire anyway. Healthy spiritual living. Some of us think, so far we come up in the morning and shout and scream and say, oh, Father, I bless you for this new day. Oh, blah, 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 blah. So we are healthy spiritually. No. On a day-to-day basis, one basic thing that keeps us spiritually healthy is one, our utterances. Are you listening to me? Our what? Utterances. And the second one is what? Our thoughts. And I don't want to say thoughts because there are thoughts that flashes. And you cannot call that an engaging thought. There are the one that is dangerous or that is healthy at the same time is called meditation. The direction your meditation is going will determine whether it is healthy or not. When it is a prolonged thought, it is a meditation. Are you here with me?
Yeah, right.
So now, can you read the other one? The other one. He said,
but I say unto you.
Yeah.
But I say unto you.
I say unto you.
at the woman to lust after her.
No, you have said, it was said of them in the time of old that thou shalt not commit adultery. He said, but I say unto you that whosoever shall what? That look after a woman lustfully. Now, it's just using the instance of a woman lustfully. There are so many other engaging thoughts. It's, of course, looking at a woman is, of course, it's impossible to stay without, to say you can't look at a woman. You must look at a woman. All right? But when you have prolonged, protracted thoughts of diverse kind of consideration, you are already engaging in meditation. And can I also say, whosoever will look at a man lustfully. Because there are some other women too that keeps their pillow to their head thinking about a man, and they have done so many things to that man in that thought. So don't think it is just a man thing. It's also a woman thing. Well, I'm just trying to take examples of thoughts and what? And words, thoughts and words. We are going to stay on that for some time because these are very, very, very important ingredients of healthy spiritual living. I know you know some of these things, but we need to look at them critically. So in this scripture, in Psalm 19 verse 12, David called something secret faults. And secret faults are always in your thought life. Hello. How many of you know that thought lives are not open? That's why all of us look honorably. We're always looking very honorable, very good people. But if God begins to give us a scanner, maybe when you are entering any place, they just put your thoughts on the screen. Now imagine that everywhere you go, your thoughts are always X-rayed. So maybe inside of that your heart that wears a beautiful face is unforgiveness, that is full of bitterness, it is lust, that is full of fornications, all kinds of engagement of the thought. So David was saying, cleanse thou me from secret faults. That is a good prayer to pray. The word cleanse there is empty me. Empty my heart of those what? Of those secret faults. The secret faults are the things I meditate upon that does not align with the will of God, that does not align with the word of God. Hallelujah. These are secret faults. And the second thing he prayed was, keep me back also from presumptuous sin. And I want to say to you that he was talking about the second part of his prayer in verse 14. Presumptuous sins are what then? They are what? What is presumptuous? What is presumptuous? Maybe in English. Let's get another word for presumptuous. Presumptuous. Quickly. Tonight. Presumptuous sins. Because there are some scriptures we just know, and we need to bring the language, simpler language, to understand them. Presumptuous. Please quickly check your dictionary before I go further. Arrogant. That's a good word. Because you never knew what David was talking about when he said presumptuous. And I will tell you from the Jewish perspective, the word presumptuous simply means Zadeh. It's a masculine word. It is a word that is always in opposition. It stands always in opposition. To be presumptuous is to be arrogant, proud. Okay? Amen. But the real word I like us to pick from the Hebrew explanation is to be rebellious. And so, when you are talking about presumptuous sins, there are sins that set you against God's will. And most times, according to the word of the King David in his prayer here, I believe he was talking about the words of his mouth that can set him in a rebellious position against God. He prayed about secret faults, and he also prayed about presumptuous sin. Sin of words. I told you what God showed me, how my words were traveling. He showed me how they were traveling. Some of your words are against God's word. So they travel the opposite direction. And the enemy is waiting to embrace them. And listen to me, every word a man releases, there are forces waiting for its execution. So David was praying that God will keep him from what? From presumptuous sin. He said if he's kept from presumptuous sin, he said he will be innocent from plenty transgression. That means if only I can make my words align with God's will and God's word, I'll be free of almost every other kind of issues of life. Do you get this? In James chapter number 3, right? James' explanation. Can you quickly give me the book of James chapter number 3? James chapter 3, verse 2. We have to keep a healthy spiritual life. And you think, I'm sure you feel when I want to talk about healthy spiritual living, I will start talking about, you see, the power of revelation. When God begins to reveal to you. Do you know one thing? The fact that you even have a revelation now does not mean you are consistently, healthy in your spirit. And I always use Peter's example. Peter was a man that Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father that is in heaven. You remember that story in Matthew chapter 16? Just in the same chapter, not long, he said unto the same guy, he said, get ye behind me, Satan. Why did he suddenly become Satan? The utterances of his mouth. You remember? And it doesn't, what he said was not actually negative. But it was against the will of God. What did he say to Jesus? He said, far be it, it shall not happen to you. Jesus was teaching them that he would die. And he said, you know, just because you want to take care of your rabbi. And I think it's a nice thing to do. When your rabbi begins to make negative confession. You see, in God's kingdom, what you call negative confession is you have to consider it very well before you call it negative confession. Because what Jesus was saying that day was actually not on the gauge of positive and negative analysis. It wasn't a positive thing to the ear, but it was the will of God for Jesus to die. Do you understand this? And why he said he was going to die? The God that he just said, you are Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. The guy goofed. He said, we rebuke Satan. You cannot die. You shall live. That is a wrong scripture to quote at that period. Amen. And Jesus said, get ye hence, Satan. All right? So, utterances are important. Say it to yourself, my utterances are important.
My utterances are important.
Say, my words are important.
My words are important.
For healthy spiritual living.
Spiritual living.
I look at James chapter number 3, verse 2, quickly. James chapter number 3, verse 2. Quickly, please, can you read James 3?
For in many things we offend all.
Is that in many things we offend all?
If any man offend not in word.
But if any man offend not in word.
The same is a perfect man.
The same is a perfect man.
And able also to build the whole body.
Is that he can take care of the whole body? The utterances has the capacity of keeping the body. You can keep your emotions to check by utterances. And you can set it loose to be wild by utterances. Not just your emotion. Your physical health can be put to what? In order. You don't understand. This is very serious spiritual principle. Sometimes we think everything stops at praying. The 2 hours of praying. No. Are you here? Yeah. No. The things you say after 1 hour of praying count more. One of the reasons why people's prayer are never answered is because they counter it with their words. They go back to counter it. They have just finished praying to God. Then they now empower more demons. I've told you how your word travels. Oh my God. In the realms of the spirit, words are very tangible. In the realms of the spirit, thoughts are very real. They form waves. I wish you saw what God took me through in that experience. He was showing me my thoughts. My thoughts were going like radio waves. I was looking at myself. My words were moving. I was seeing my word, and he said, "This is your word." Then again, I was seeing my thoughts. They were like waves. Do you know, even in the natural realm, there are dimensions of perception of thoughts. Do you know there are people who are skilled to know people's thought? I'm not talking about discernment. That even in the natural realm, there are natural acumen with which people can detect thoughts. Do you know there are machines that are made now that are called lie detectors? Those machines will read between your emotions. And they read between the line and say, that statement was a lie. How correct it is, I don't know. But I know to a certain extent before it could be approved for usage, it must have been given a thorough test. Now, I'm only telling you that the things you call your thoughts, that you think they just waste away, they are a central part, essential part of your health.
Wow.
Especially spiritually. So if we want to develop you spiritually, we have to reiterate again and again the role that your thought plays in your spiritual life. We have to reiterate again and again the role that your words play. In fact, most of the things you are doing now are cumulative of your thoughts and words. So he says in James chapter 3 verse 2, what did he say again? If a man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, is a complete man. If you must enter that realm of completeness, you have to engage in the right use of words. And that is for you to subject your speech sense to the spirit of the living God. There are things you must never utter, no matter how pushed you are emotionally. You know, I'm about to quickly make reference to that scripture we read. He said, if you say you are a fool, you are in danger of hellfire. If we are going to follow that standard, I don't know how many people are in danger of hellfire. Because there are things we are quick to say. We have come to discover that we are more Christians when we are in the worship places or when we are in prayer meetings. But when you drive in the traffic of Lagos, you will be guilty of hellfire. I'm telling you, because that guy almost brushed your bumper and you said, are you not a fool? Then he said, are you calling me a fool? No, I'm only asking you. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, and in verse 3, can I quickly show you what he said further in verse 3? Quickly. I want us to round off in another few minutes now. Verse 3, very fast, please. Very fast.
Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth.
He said, if you want to control an horse, what do? You put bits to bridle his mouth.
That they may obey us.
So when you tickle the bit a bit, whatever direction the bit tells the horse to go, that's where it goes.
And will turn about their own body.
And you use that to turn his body. Hello, it is your mouth that turns your body. That's what James is trying to say in his letter. It is your mouth that turns your body.
Yeah.
It turns your body. Your mouth turns your body. And it turns your life.
Yes.
It determines your direction.
Yes.
So do well by using your mouth
yes.
in accordance with the will of God.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen.
This is spiritual health, brother. If I want to teach you spirituality, people of God, this is where I start from.
Wow.
I won't talk to you about the tongue of angels. I won't start with you by telling you the seven principles of the holies of holies. If I can't bring that seven principles of the holies of holies down to the place where it will affect your day-to-day spiritual activities, then I've not taught you spirituality. Your words. And he made another example. He said, that is of a sheep.
Behold, also the sheeps, which though they be so great.
He said, how many of you have seen a sheep before? There's one in Lagos that is called Aradu. Have you seen Aradu before? It's a naval sheep. Big, very big. I know you have seen Titanic. All right? That one is in the where? It's where? Glory to God. Of course, that one you saw was actually in the television. If you have actually seen a ship, how many of you have been inside a ship before? All these local guys. Never been inside a ship before. Okay, we'll go on a cruise someday. Sometimes, when you get to a ship, you think you are in a whole street. A whole street. People of God. You can play tennis. You can play basketball. You can go to another street to go and check your friends and walk back to your own house. I'm talking about a ship. Then you have a bar somewhere. You have another pool, a swimming pool somewhere. And it's a ship. So he said, what was he saying about this very big?
Behold also the ships, which though they be so great.
They be so great.
And are driven of fierce winds. Yet are they turned about with a very small helm.
The helm is just very small.
Mm.
Whatsoever
the governor listed.
You see, the master of the ship just takes the helm. That thing that looks like a whole street. When he just, and there's heavy tempest outside. Then he just used that helm against the tempest. Do you get it? That means there is something so little in you that can control every other external thing. And what is that thing? Your mouth!
Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasted great things.
Aye, aye,
aye. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindled. And the tongue is a fire, the world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiled the whole body and set it on fire the course of nature.
Amen.
And it is set
even on the fire of hell. Tongue. Very small. And you think it's just small. Am I not just gisting? And it's setting you on fire. There are two kinds of fire. Now, listen to me. Words find attraction. Words find attraction. Some to darkness, some to light. And so influence comes through into your life through words. When your word aligns with the word of God, you begin to see the influence of God mightily over you. The Spirit of God is mighty over you. Are you listening to me? When you want the Spirit of God expressed mightily through you, use your words. I'm not just talking about preaching. I'm talking about your regular day-to-day walk. Your words. I'll show you an example in Malachi chapter 3. Find that scripture for me. And when the people of the Lord, there are two categories of people in that Malachi 3. He said one to some, your words have been stout against me. For you have said it is in vain that we have honored the Lord and that we have walked humbly before him. Then he said, another people now said, and then they that feared the Lord spake one with another. We didn't even get the content of what they were saying, but it was the people that feared the Lord. That means the things that they were saying were in accordance with the fear of the Lord. And while they spake, the Bible said, the Lord heard them. They heard them there is that the Lord was attracted to them. Because the other side of the people that spoke haughtily and proudly against the Lord, in presumptuous manner, they were people that God had to, but he was not attracted to. But the other ones, the Bible said, and the Lord had them. The people that feared the Lord spake one with another. I don't really know the content of their words, but it was in accordance with the fear of the Lord. And believe you me, they didn't pray one with another. They spake one with another. Don't stay where people are, engaging in unholy conversations. Because God hears all. Demons are attracted to one. God is attracted to the other. And the Lord had them. And the Bible said the book of remembrance was written before him
for them that feared the Lord.
For them that feared the Lord.
And that thought upon his name.
And thought. Can you see? That is a position for spiritual health. They thought upon his name. And he said, I will spare these guys. He said, in the day that I make up my jewel, they will be mine. God too began to say, these are my guys. They will be mine. I will guard them jealously. If you want to see God act in your life, you must keep your thoughts in the direction it should go. You must keep your words in the direction it should go. You must engage in holy conversations. Don't sit down. Some of you now, the only thing you have been saying in the last few weeks is COVID-19. Do you know 300 people more died yesterday? You say, only God knows who shall be saved now. Some other people say, this COVID-19 said, not lie. All these things, they are just using our money. They are just chopping our money. Is that your business? God said, they shall be mine. So David said, let the words of my mouth. Say it to yourself, let the words of my mouth
and the meditations of my heart
be acceptable in your sight. Lord, be attracted to my words and the meditations of my heart.
Let it flow to you.
Let it flow to you, O God.
May your words not find
its way to the quarters of darkness. Because at that place, your words give them a legal right to operate. Most of the battles in our life that are very dangerous have been empowered by our own words. Are you listening to me? And our thoughts too. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So he is. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so. And believe you me, you know what makes thoughts more dangerous is that it occupies a very serious place. It is called a secret place. And you know why? That's where God sees from too. Secret place. God does not weigh externalities. When the razzmatazz are happening, God is targeting motives, thoughts. He's looking at it. All right? Matthew 6, verse 6. He said, enter into what? Your closet. When you pray, he said, your God who sees. That is how he sees. How do you see? You see by physical assessment. Abi? If I tell you, what can you see now as I'm here? You say, I see a guy who has white beard. He's wearing a black shirt striped with white. But if he has God, what is he seeing now? He's not just seeing all these things. That's the last thing he sees. What he sees first is content of the heart. The movement of the thoughts of my heart is the first place of perception that God engages. Because these are the potent realities in the spirit. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
These are potent realities in the spirit. Your words, your meditation. Let me close. Maybe we'll take another session on spiritual health. But tonight, I want you to know that more of your standing in the spirit is determined by these activities. Activities you consider to be just natural, but they are connected to your state of health, both spiritually and physically. Because your state of health, like I said earlier, in the spirit, determines your state of health in the physical. So if you want the words of your mouth to align with God's purpose, what do you do? Take more time with God's word. In fact, there is no day in my life that I don't have a word of God. That's why God gives us this document called the Bible. And we have to always thank God for it, for the Bible. Say, this is my Bible. Hallelujah. I know you don't have Bibles again these days. You have it in your phone. You have it in your iPad. But you see, I'm a very spiritual person. I have it in my pages of on a lighter mode. But believe you me, people of God, if you must live healthy spiritually, the word of God must be your meditation. Psalm 1, you remember, blessed is the man who what? Who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but is delight. Somebody say what? Is delight. Say it again. Is delight. Say it one more time. Now personalize it. My delight is in the law of the Lord. And in the law of the Lord will I meditate day and night. I love a translation that put it
all day long. Carry the word in your heart all day long. I was telling some of my guys in prophetic class, I told them Jesus Christ did not just open the book of Isaiah in Luke chapter 4 for the first time. It is a major word of meditation. That prophecy, one of the ways to provoke prophecy into fulfillment is to stay on it. How do you stay on it? Stay in meditation. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. He will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. He will keep in what? In perfect peace. Whose mind is what? It stayed on him. Your mind has, you have to deliberately engage your mind with God's word. Because, you see, there is no neutral place in the mind. If you don't engage it, something else will engage it. How many of you know that the temptations of Jesus, all of it were mental realm? Alright? All of it, they were mental. When he was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, they were mental realm. The enemy kept throwing certain things to his mind, and he kept wading it up with the word of the Lord. That was what he was doing. When he was taken, the Bible said he took him to a high mountain. There is no mountain such as that in the world. The Bible said he took him to a high mountain and showed him all the what? The kingdom of this world and his what? And the glories. That means he was on one mountain, he saw the New York, he saw the Paris of this world. Where is another beautiful place? Let me include Abuja, so this one. He saw the, where again? Paris, Singapore, all the beautiful places of the world, the Lagos of this world, all of them put together. And he said, I will give you all this. The banana highlands of this world. He said, if you bow to me, I will give you all this. Is there a mountain like that where you can see everything all at once? No, the only mountain like that is called imagination. And it is part of meditation. It's part of meditation. Some of you just keep thinking, what about if I die? That's the path to death. Somebody called me and said, sir, I just think these days, what about if I just die? Why can't you think that? What about if everybody on this street just gets saved? Why don't you just think about the day you are walking into hospitals, praying for people and everybody's been healed? Have you ever engaged in such imaginations? And after such imaginations, you now fall asleep and you find yourself hosting a very large crusade and people have been healed of various kinds of diseases. I'm sure some of you have had such experiences before. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You cannot, if you engage your mind very well, you won't be thinking and now you fall asleep, you are dreaming of, you are about to almost kissing your former boyfriend. As you were just, then you just woke up as the blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus is not applicable for those terrains. Engage your mind with the word of God. Do you know since when Jesus has been reading the book of Isaiah? Before he came back, the Bible said in Luke chapter 4, he returned in the power of the Spirit. And when he got to the temple, he asked for the book again. This time around, he knew he has meditated enough for it to come to practical fulfillment. And he brought the book and he read it again. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Immediately he read that, what did he say? He said, today, this scripture is being fulfilled in your ear. May the Lord take you through such prophetic analysis to a point where the scriptures will be literally fulfilled in your life. Why? Because it has been your consistent meditation. I looked at Isaac. You remember that story of Isaac? The Bible said he was in the field to meditate.
Yes.
You remember? He was in the field to meditate. I asked myself questions. What was Isaac meditating upon? I'm just trying to tell you different classes of or sources of good meditation. Then I realized when I was studying that in the Jewish custom, one of the way of promoting family culture and values is by meditation. So when the patriarch speaks to his children, they take it seriously. They now go. The Bible said Isaac was in the field to meditate. Meditation is what you do deliberately. One of the things we have lost in the body today is devotions. Times to just stay aside and do very private. I'm not even talking about praying and tongue talking. There are times you just stay on the scripture and you just quietly play the music over and again in your heart. Play the music over and again in your heart. It has a way of texturing your heart. Glory to God. So in every clan, in the Jewish custom, every patriarch is supposed to be a man of wisdom that releases a word to them. That's why the writer of Proverbs was saying, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ears unto my saying. Do not let them depart from your heart. Do not let them depart. One major way of preserving it in the Jewish custom is what? Meditation. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. That's why I said your spiritual health has a direct influence on your physical health. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. In closing, you know that Jesus said the same thing. He was admonishing them and in line with the Jewish custom. In the book of John chapter 8, in the book of John chapter 8, you know that scripture, verse 31, he was speaking to the Jews that believed in him. Jesus speaking to the Jews that believed in him. The Jews that believed in him. And what did he say? What did he call him? My words. He was not even telling them the Torah.
Yeah.
He was establishing a pathway for the new. And he said, if you must cross from the old to the new, you have to follow my words. All these guys that are called Jews knew was just the Torah. They had the practice of the Torah. They had the laws and the commandments, the Tanakh and the Torah. They had all these things preserved. But Jesus was introducing them to a new terrain. And he said, the same way you have meditatively taught upon the Torah and the Tanakh, you have to what? Begin to stay on my word. He said, if you continue in my words, he said, then are you my disciples indeed? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And you shall know the truth. And I've told you, for you to come to the place of the experiential knowledge of the truth, you have to stay on God's word. Saturate your mind with healing scriptures. Meditate on prophecies that you believe God brought to your life by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. If your heart does not agree with a prophecy, throw it out. But if your heart agrees with it, it will not happen automatically. One of the ways to wage a good warfare is to make your mind to stay on it. When he was saying, wage a good warfare with the what? With your prophecy. What he was actually talking about is that use it to counter every other what? Every contrary opinion. Stay on that word and say, this is the word of the Lord. That is what I choose to believe. Get out, Satan. This is the path of spiritual health. And I think God has spoken to us this evening.
Yes.
Are you blessed already?
Yes.
Are you blessed already?
Yes.
How are you going to operate from today? You are going to deepen your sense of meditation. You are going to ask the Lord to deliver you from presumptuous sins. That you will not use stout words against the will of the Lord. That you will never be caught with words that can turn your life against God. Because we have seen that the tongue is like a helm. It can turn the whole body wherever it's supposed to go. Say, Lord, I believe you. And I will use my words according to your will. In alignment with your word. Can you pray? I want to pray for you. If there is any word that have ignited strange fire over your life, I stand in the name of Jesus with the authority of a prophet. I break those words upon your life. You see, words are authorities released. They are influential. Maybe your own words in alignment with dangerous satanic determinations have agreed to bring about a strange fire over your life. Lakusha Batavia. Can we pray in the spirit for a while? Mareka Tusakatabania. Let such error. Lakusha Pakuta Parabasikata. In the name of Jesus. Wherever you are, I pray in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Rasha kita bakata bakalabushu. Maria kasukata barayana sakata. In the name of Jesus. Broshatabia nahasi. Kepu shata. Minahan shakuta pariyata. In the nene sikata. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Lift your hand and say, Father, your word is exalted. For you have said in your word that you honor your word even more than your name. Say, your word is exalted. Say, so therefore, every contrary word that I have spoken with my mouth that is working against my purpose, working against my peace, working against my health, working against my joy. Let your word be exalted above them. Let them be brought down. Every agency of darkness that is working with my whole word against my whole life. Father, by your word, they are brought down tonight. They are brought down tonight. They are brought down tonight. In the name of Jesus. Can you pray this one? Say, Father, I know of the blood of the sprinkling. I know of the blood of the sprinkling. The blood of the sprinkling that speaks. That speaks better things. And so therefore, tonight, by the blood of the sprinkling and the utterance of that word, let every contrary utterance that I'll be released from me, even for the enemy's use, let them be brought down tonight in the name of Jesus. Can you pray that prayer again? Let the utterance of the blood of the sprinkling, the blood that speaks better things than that of Abel, let that blood utterance, let it quench every other utterance that have proceeded from me that the enemy is working with against my purpose and destiny, let them be brought down in the name of Jesus. Let them be brought down in the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. I want you to begin to prophesy to your life. Use your words in the name of Jesus. I want you to speak concerning your whole life. Labo shatabrandihe sikatabada. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. You see, all of those prophecies about David were from his tongue. That's amazing. Have you ever taken note of that? Go and see chapter number 89. Go and see 89 of Psalm. I will show you some Psalms that will provoke you to also begin to use your words prophetically. Psalm 89. I wanted us to look at a particular Psalm. All right. The Psalm of David, where he said, "Awake, O glory to God." Where he was saying that his music instrument should awake. Awake, O pastry. Now, what I'm trying to bring to you because of our time is that most of these things that are declared by David were from his own mouth. Amen. And I want you to prophesy about your own life tonight, that you will be in health as your soul prospers. Are you still here?
Yes, sir.
It was Paul that said, "I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health." Even as your soul prospers. So, your rate of prosperity in the body is directly proportional to the rate of prosperity of your soul. That is saying, if you are spiritually healthy, you are definitely going to be physically healthy. If you are prosperous in your soul, you are going to be prosperous in your physical life. And that was what Paul, the apostle, was saying. "I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, be in health, physical health, as your soul prosper." If your soul is doing well, if you are doing well and healthy in your spiritual life, you are going to be healthy in your body. Are you listening to me? If you are taking proper positions in your soul, COVID-19 can't even have power in you. No sickness will thrive in your body. Lift your hand and say, "No sickness is permitted to thrive."
No sickness is permitted to thrive
in my body.
In my body.
Say it again. No sickness is permitted to thrive.
No sickness is permitted to thrive
in my body.
In my body.
Can you pray in the spirit as we round up this meeting for tonight? Can you just pray in the name of Jesus? Marahantoshke. Malabo Shata Marekata Sakebota Labo Sharabaya Baba 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 Baka Sikedebosha Brekesu Katabaranian Kesukaba. People of God, can we just go ahead and bless the name of the Lord? Bless the name of the Lord. Maramo Shakata Brundiha Sayanasta. Many hints sukada mandosh kabariasa you kabashakata reduce ceremonies lehita nanatia tanakata nakalabu shantaria bakata brakanaba rekanaba hada baba 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 baba. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Jesus.